Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us today. We have open lines on the phone for you, and we welcome your call with your Bible questions or personal issues at 844-322-2742. That, of course, good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. We want you to be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel, so call now, friends, because it is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. On Thursday of this week, we're going to be releasing a brand new video for our Basic Gospel Answers YouTube channel, mm-hmm. and it is tackling the question, what must I do to please God? And so for the next couple of days, we're going to talk a little bit about what the Word of God has to say about pleasing God. It's one of those things that we can really take in the wrong way. We can look at it as a standard to reach instead of a reality to express. And God is pleased with us as believers in Christ. He's pleased because we have exercised faith in the grace of God. We were saved by grace through faith. We read in the letter to the Hebrews that without faith it is impossible to please God. So when you exercise that faith in God's plan of salvation for you, and that's Jesus, then God is pleased with you. Yes. Why? Because now you're in Christ. And God is pleased with his Son, and God is pleased with those who are in his Son. So we're going to talk about how that plays out in our day-to-day life. For example, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul wrote this. He said, so whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim or ambition to please him. Mm-hmm. So Paul knew that he was pleasing to the Lord. Paul knew that because he was in Christ, because he had seen Jesus and responded to Jesus, that God was pleased with him. And here he's saying, hey, I'm making it my ambition to please him. So what is he saying there? What is he talking about? And that's what this video is all about. So we want to hear from you on your ideas, what your thinking is in regards to what it means to please the Lord, how this has been a beneficial thing to you. Maybe it's been a legalistic thing to you. So let's talk about it. We would love to hear from you on today's broadcast. Again, the number 844-322-2742. That's the number, 844-322-2742. So go ahead and call. Let's talk about what it means to please the Lord. And here's something that we need to understand, that this phrase, please the Lord, is not a law-based phrase. Right. It's a grace-based phrase. So when we exercise faith, it's in response to the grace of God. And so it's this same grace of God that's going to be moving us, that was certainly moving Paul when he wrote that statement that I make it my ambition to please the Lord. So he's simply saying, I want to embrace this life that I have in Jesus, and I want to live it to the full. And when God the Father sees us living this life to the full, man, that's pleasing to him. Yes. Why? Because that's why he saved us. That's why he sent Jesus, so that we might have life and have it abundantly. So when we're experiencing this abundant life, we are pleasing the Lord. Why? Because we are living by faith. That's good news, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah,
it's so simple. This Christian life is so simple. We enter into it by grace through faith. We experience it, live it day in and day out by grace through faith. Yeah. And it's this faith that is pleasing to the Lord.
Yes, indeed. Faith that's pleasing to the Lord, absolutely. We look forward to that video, Bob, What Must I Do to Please God, coming out this Thursday on our Basic Gospel YouTube channel. Thanks for the heads up on that. Well, friends, we have open lines, as Bob said. We want you to fill up those lines right now at 844-322-2742. We would like to share whatever you're going through, whatever question you have, and lead you into the Word of God for the answer and or the solution in the person of Jesus Christ. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. And friends, for everything you do to support the message of grace and life and the Lord Jesus Christ through Basic Gospel, we say a heartfelt thank you. And with your gift today, we want to demonstrate our thanks back to you by sending you a copy of Andrew's book, God Without Religion. It's insightful and witty, and you are sure to enjoy and be blessed by its message. Donations are needed, appreciated, and can be made at basicgospel.net. There's a big prominent donate link right there on the homepage, basicgospel.net. And as you make your gift, be sure to request your copy of God Without Religion. Well, once again, we do have some calls coming in, but still plenty of room for you, and we want you to go ahead and call right now, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, and we're glad you're with us. And again, here is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to our phone lines and talk with Jane listening to us in Fort Worth, Texas. Hi, Jane. You're on Basic Gospel Radio.
Hello, Brother Andrew and everybody else that's out there in radio land. Andrew, first of all, I just want to thank God for you and your broadcast. I don't get to listen often, but I'm blessed today to get in, and that's a powerful question that you're asking us about pleasing God. And the first scripture I came to was Hebrews 11:6. Possible to please God. So when you go into the gospel and you study things, God is the one that gives us a living faith, just like Abraham had.
That's exactly right.
Abraham had a living faith, and God will give you a living faith because it's going to come through the living God. Praise God. So I just thank God today for the word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. And now that same word lives inside of us, each one of us. So, Andrew, I just thank God for you for the word that you deliver, straight word. Every evening, brother. God bless you.
Jane, you're about one day early on Andrew. He'll be here tomorrow, I think, and Bob Christopher and I are here. My name is Bob Davis. We're glad to hear from you, and I was just going to interject and say, preach it, lady.
Brother Bob. Well, good to, you know, this is just a God-sent broadcast. He's telling the truth. Nothing added, nothing taken away, and it's just so wonderful.
Well, that's great, Jane, and I think you're spot on as far as pleasing God. I think that passage out of Hebrews 11:6 is a must. I mean, that is the centerpiece, the foundation. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so when we respond to that gospel message with faith, that's pleasing God. That's his desire for us. I mean, he desires that no one perish, but all come to repentance and all come to know this salvation. So when we respond by faith, that's pleasing to the Lord. That brings him great joy. And we read that even heaven rejoices. All of the heavenly beings, they have a party rejoicing with us that we have come to know Jesus, have been made alive together with him. And then when we live that life by faith, as Galatians 2:20 says, then that life becomes pleasing. It's pleasing to us. And I think that's the thing that we sometimes miss. We look at pleasing God as a standard to reach, so we can get very legalistic about it, and we can get down on ourselves when we think we've disappointed God, that we haven't pleased him. But when we learn that, no, God is all about us experiencing this life to the full, and when we go about that just simply trusting Jesus, we find that to be the most pleasing life to us. And it's the life that we find the most contentment in. And so that pleases God as well. So it's not a legalistic word at all. It's a grace word. It is by grace through faith. That's the way God set it up. And so it's always the grace of God that's going to be the motivating, compelling factor in this life that pleases the Lord. So, Jane, thanks so much for your call. Let me put you on hold. And since I think you're a first-time caller, would love to send you a gift just to say thanks for jumping on with us.
Thank you.
You hang on, Jane. Thanks. God bless you, and love your heart and love your passion for the truth.
Yes, indeed.
You keep proclaiming and shouting from the rooftops the good news of Jesus, okay?
Yes, thank you. Have a good evening.
Hey, thanks, you Jane. Too. Well, let's go to our phone lines again and talk to Fred listening to us in Dallas, Texas. Hi, Fred.
Hey, Fred.
Hi. I've been listening to you guys for a while. It sure is nice to talk to you. You know, I think that lady said it best that was just on here before, but I don't think there's anything I could add to that. She said it right.
Yes, she did, didn't she?
But basically, you know, I was just going to, the question that you had asked long ago about, like, you know, what is pleasing God? Like, what do we think that is? And, you know, I think that it's, and I could, you know, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's impossible to please God. I think that's the reason that Jesus, you know, died for our sins. And I think that what pleases God is when he looks at us and he sees Jesus. And the way that he sees his son is through the fruits of the Spirit and through the choices and the decisions that we make throughout our day, and by dedicating our life and our time to him. And, you know, and because he loved us first, not because we have to or because we feel like we're obligated to in any way, but only because that love that he had for us, that was on the cross, that accepted us in our sin. That is when you understand that love, that's what changes your life. That's the one thing that pleases him is when you understand that he is not willing for any of us to perish, to die in our sin. You know, he loves us. It's that much. And so when, you know, it's that close personal relationship with Jesus so when he looks at us and he sees us, he sees his son, he sees his traits in us, and that pleases him, you know?
Yeah. It's all about Jesus. I mean, the Bible is God's testimony about his son. Yeah. Salvation is our response to God's testimony about his son, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So everything is pointed toward him. And when we recognize that life is found in Jesus and Jesus alone, and we receive that life, that's the most pleasing thing that we can do as far as God is concerned. And so every believer who is in Christ and Christ is in, that person is pleasing just because of that reality. And we've been given the life of Jesus, and that's good news. So just as God the Father said about Jesus, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased," all of those who are in Jesus, he says exactly the same thing. And talk about good news,
that's right.
Good news that rests the soul and puts you at ease and gives you the confidence to live out who you are in this world today. That's the news that does it.
That's amazing. Yes, sir.
Well, Fred.
I just thank you guys so much for what y'all do every day. You know, I'm here at work, and I listen to it loud every day, so anybody who might be walking by.
Oh, that's awesome, Fred.
Yeah.
That is great. And thanks for your call today, and let me put you on hold as well, and we'll send you something to say thank you for jumping on with us. So, Fred, you hold on, and we'll get that into your hands, and you call us anytime, my friend.
Yeah. Couple of wonderful testimonies as we get started today.
Yes, yes,
we
indeed.
We love hearing from our listeners and to hear that the message has penetrated the hearts, and they can actually bring it back to us. So that's the confirmation that it has been a reality in their lives.
Yes, indeed. Well, if anybody else would like to jump on and talk about what it means to please the Lord as far as your understanding, maybe you're a little confused about that. Let's talk about it and see how the Word of God can give us some clarity. Again, the number 844-322-2742. In the meantime, Robbie, who is watching us on our YouTube video stream, has this question. Is there biblically such a thing as apostolic succession? He says, I'm thinking not, but thank you for your answer. So, there were apostles. Those apostles were back in the day. Jesus picked them. Then there was the apostle Paul, who was a part of that a deal. They were eyewitnesses to the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They are the ones that God spoke through to bring us the Word of God. They were sent specifically for that purpose. And once that purpose has been fulfilled, that role has been taken away. I mean, it was fulfilled. It was completed. So we have the Word of God. It's been delivered to us once for all. And so we need to contend for that. And we need to build upon Jesus Christ as the cornerstone and the apostles' teaching as the foundation. So that's been given to us. There is a movement today called the New Apostolic Reformation, and they are trying to reinstitute the office of apostle, and they are trying to claim that they are apostles of God, and that authority to govern the church today rests in their hands. So they want to exert authority over the church today. And then they will bring along prophets who they say are receiving new revelation from God. And those two together, they become the governing forces as far as the body of Christ is concerned. And I think that's a very, very dangerous movement. And I think it goes against the clear teaching of the Word of God. We certainly see within the Catholic Church, Peter being the first pope, as they claim, and then a succession following him. There's really nothing in the Word of God about that either. But we have to recognize that there were apostles. They were eyewitnesses to the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They were unique within the body of Christ. God sent his Spirit to them. He sends his Spirit to us. But when he sent his Spirit to them, he brought to memory all the things that Jesus had said and done, and they were able to communicate that, write that down. And as John said, there was so much more that we could write down, but the things that we did write down was for this purpose, so that you may know that Jesus is the Son of the living God, and that in believing you might have life in his name.
Yes, indeed. Well, Robbie, glad you posed that question. A great answer from Bob Christopher, as always. And friends, if you have a question, we'd love to hear from you right now at 844-322-2742 in the U.S. and Canada. We'd love to hear from some of you Canadians as well. 844-322-2742. And Bob mentioned the new video coming out Thursday, What Must I Do to Please God? Well, in addition to that, there are many other titles that Bob has produced. And if you would like to tap into that rich resource for Christian learning, just visit Basic Gospel, the YouTube channel. And just about, as I say, any subject or question that you might have has been addressed by video by Bob Christopher and other fine teachers as well, but mostly by Bob Christopher. He's been a busy guy, and we encourage you to take advantage of it, because the teaching is just very, very rich in biblical truth. And you'll find the archive when you visit basicgospel.net/YouTube. That's basicgospel.net/YouTube. Well, once again, that phone number, friends, we still have a little time on the clock. Love to hear from you. In the meantime, Bob, a question from Frank. What is the glory of God? Could you please explain and maybe give some Bible verses that describe the glory of God?
Well, the glory of God, that's an interesting word. It's kind of a nebulous word. We don't really know what it means, as far as first glance. But then when you get into the Bible, you see the glory of God is just the revealed presence of God, his character, his nature, his essence. Moses in Exodus chapter 33 asked God to show him his glory. And we know the story. God said, well, I can't show you the full scope of that. It would just be too much. You would die. So I'm going to give you just a little taste of it. And he put Moses in a crevice. He passed by. And as he did, Moses got the tail end of it, so to speak. And it was so powerful. It was so magnificent that Moses's face just radiated. And it was such a glow that the people down below were afraid, and so he had to put a veil over that. Now, what's interesting, that as the glory of God was passing by, we hear the voice of God proclaiming his essence, his loving kindness, his forgiveness. So he's declaring his character. He's saying who he is. So that is the glory of God. It's the very essence of who he is. And that's a everlasting radiance and everlasting glory as we see. Now, we see the full scope of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that He and the Father are one. If we've seen Jesus, we've seen the Father. Paul says that we see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We see what God is like. We see His true essence. We see His true character. That's what the glory of God is all about. And we share in that glory, which means that those of us who are new, have been made new in Christ, who have been born again, we are going to reflect the glory of God out there in the world. We're going to reflect His goodness, His kindness, His mercy, His grace, His essence. That's us participating in the divine nature, as Peter tells us in his second letter. So the glory of God is really the essence of God, the character of God, the presence, the power of God. We see, for example, at the end of Exodus, the book of Exodus, Exodus 40, there is the dedication of the tabernacle, and it says the glory of God filled that tabernacle. We also see in the book of Samuel, I believe, or no, I forget which one, Chronicles, where Solomon dedicates the temple. And when he dedicates the temple, sure enough, the glory of God fills that place. That's the presence of God. Then we see on the day of Pentecost, tongues of fire above the apostles' heads. And what was that an indication of? The glory of God filling the new temple. And that new temple was us, the body of Christ. So the glory of God is the presence of God. And with the presence of God, we see and understand the essence of God, His true character.
Yes, indeed. Well, we appreciate hearing from Frank and everyone who writes or calls to pose a question to us. And Elizabeth from Canada writes that she's listened to the broadcast for many years already. And but she goes on to say she has a question about forgiveness. Her mom had an accident decades ago where her sister died, and her mom has obviously blamed herself. She goes on to say, I feel like she hasn't been able to get rid of the guilt because she still just doesn't want to talk about it. I don't get what else it could be than to forgive yourself. I'd like your take on that.
Well, she's right. There's no place in the Bible that tells us to forgive ourselves. Our forgiveness comes from God. And when we receive that forgiveness, when we rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ, then we're able to let go of those things that we've held on to for so many years. Yeah. And that's really what the Bible is calling us to, is to embrace and rest in the finished work of Jesus. And when we rest in the finished work of Jesus, we can let go of our past, and we can look boldly and confidently and expectantly and with full measure of hope toward the future. Mm-hmm. Now, oftentimes we're reluctant to let go of the past because we are letting that past identify us. That is who we are. That's how God, we think God sees us through that particular act. And again, we have to look at the gospel and recognize that when we come to Christ, we've been given a new identity, child of God. And that's how God sees us. And when we learn to walk in that truth, that's when we're able to let go of the past.
Yeah, thank you, Bob, for that. And friends, that's it for this edition of Basic Gospel. Keep in mind that we need your support to keep the message on the air and online. Please make your gift at basicgospel.net. And as you do, be sure to request your copy of Andrew Farley's excellent book, God Without Religion. It's our way of saying thank you for your support of Basic Gospel. Again, please make your gift at basicgospel.net. Now, before tomorrow's broadcast, if you have a question about the Christian life or need input for an issue you may be facing, give us a call at 844-322-2742. At that number, you can record a voicemail, and we'll give you a response on the Basic Gospel program. That's it for today. As I said, for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying goodbye for today, and we'll be back tomorrow. I hope you will, too. Bye-bye.